Our next speaker is Anne Borsberg. The title of her presentation is National Patient Perspectives on U.S. Federally Funded Hemophilia Treatment Center Care Services and Gaps. Anne Borsberg is the Associate Director of the National Hemophilia Coordinating Center, funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration through the American Thrombosis and Hemostasis Network. Prior to this position, she was an administrator of the New England Region Hemophilia Program and Research Associate at the UMass Medical Center. She has degrees in biochemistry and public health and has authored over 30 publications related to the delivery of health care. Welcome, Anne Borsberg.
Good morning. I'm going to talk about the National Survey of Patients Seen at HTCs. I have no disclosures. Just a little bit of background about hemophilia for those who don't know it. Hemophilia and other coagulation disorders, they're rare. They're complex and they're hard to treat. The prevalence of these diseases for hemophilia is 1 in 7,500. The average cost of hemophilia ranges between $300,000 and can cost up to $1 million a year. Way back in 1976, HRSA recognized the need for an organization to provide services and to be a safety net for people with these rare disorders. So they funded the National Hemophilia Treatment Center Network. These centers provide multidisciplinary care to patients with hemophilia and other bleeding disorders. There are over 35,000 people served at 135 HTCs. These treatment centers are arranged in a regionalized system of care. And these are the eight regions we have. Over the past 35 years, these regions have done a wonderful job about coordinating care within their regions. But there's never been a population-based viewpoint of the services. There's never been a national needs assessment of the patients in the U.S., nor has there been a program evaluation. So, in 2012, ATHN was funded by HRSA to establish the first National Hemophilia Program Coordinating Center. The goal of this center is to work with the regions to have a more national picture. To do this, we first decided to do a national needs assessment. The goal of the survey was to learn from patients what they needed, what their barriers to care were. So we wanted to measure the patient's perception of care they received at the HTCs and have them identify the strengths and gaps and opportunities for us to have improved services. The questions were in three parameters. Did the patients report that they received the care and services they need? Were they getting the information they need? And were they getting the support to transition from adolescent providers to adult providers? And if they got these services, did they meet their needs? And then we also want to know the patient's perception regarding delivery of care, their barriers, was the care patient-centered, and was it coordinated? All right, we looked at many, many surveys, national and international, to see if there's something out there we could use. However, most of these are patient satisfaction surveys and not needs assessment. So we got a group of people together which considered clinicians, consumers, and other health officials, and got their input into a survey. Our first draft of the survey was 18 pages long. Now, obviously, nobody's going to do a survey of 18 pages long. So we finally got it down to a four-page survey. The survey was in Spanish and English. It was closed-ended, and it was scannable and available online. The protocol is that we sent it out to patients who are of active households. An active patient was defined by the hemophilia data set, which is a data set we've been collecting since 1990. And it defines an active patient as one who's had significant contact with the HTC during the past year. We sent out 24,308 surveys, and we got back 4,000, which is a response rate of 16.5. You may consider this a rather low response rate. However, considering the fact that we only did one survey, we had no follow-up for confidentiality reasons, and we had no incentive, we thought it was a pretty good response. When we looked at how representative it was, gender was pretty balanced. The survey participants tended to be older, and if I outlined here, minority groups were underrepresentative. There were more patients with severe disease, which was understandable because they use the services most and be most likely to answer a survey. And there are fewer people with von Willebrand's. Again, this is a milder disease. So So when we looked at the results of services needed and received, you can see all the services, hematology, hemophilia nurse, pharmacy, social worker, physical therapist, dietary, genetic, they all within one percentage point, if the patient identified they needed it, they got it. Now you notice the hematologist and hemophilia nurse, a much higher percentage of people actually identified that as services they need. All patients, whether they have severe disease, mild disease, actually need the hemophilia nurse and hematologist. Other services of what are core teams, pharmacy, social work, and physical therapy, is not needed by all patients on an annual basis. All right, how well do the services meet the needs? For all the core team services, which is hematology, hemophilia nurse, pharmacy, social worker, it met it pretty well. However, we looked at dietary advice and genetic counseling, and around 25% did not feel these services met their needs. So it is showing a gap in services. But then it looked at information. And all the way through, all the types of information, treatment plan, HTC services, medical emergencies, all the way down this list, for the most part, if they needed it within one percentage point, they got it. So how well did it meet their needs? If you look at all the core care things, they met their needs very well. But if you look at basic needs resources and sexual health, it did not meet the need of around 40%. I do have to note here that the number is 212 and 237. So that's a very, very small sample size, so it's really hard to interpret. So there's going to be need further research to see if this is indeed a need. We then looked at transition services, and we looked at one of the questions that's from the survey of children with chronic health care needs. And we asked in the survey, does staff talk to you about taking care of yourself as you become an adult? And you look, it's around between 50 to 70% said yes, but a lot said no. So again, this is showing that there needs to be some work in transitioning our adolescents from adolescent care to adult care. We then looked at the overall perception of care. And the care has been around for 35 years. We probably serve around 75 to 80% of people with inherited coagulation disorders. And for the most part, it's highly rated among the patients and highly utilized. We then looked at barriers. And it is to note, 69% of the people reported no barriers. Now this, again, we might have had a bit of a biased sample, but we also shown this in other surveys, that for the most part they do not have a lot of barriers. But they do have barriers. It's a barrier from taking time off from work, from school. Distance. The distance would certainly be expected because in parts of the country, patients live maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours from a hemophilia treatment center. So that is a barrier for them. Also, high out-of-pocket costs. And this was done pre-ACA, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens afterwards. When we look at the barriers, insurance, dental was the biggest barrier, followed by genetic counselor and getting factor. When we looked at problems by ethnic group, we found that African Americans and Hispanics had 2 to 3 times greater likelihood of having 5 or more pair problems. We then asked, how is it important that you receive your care in HTC? And only 10% said it was not important or not important at all. So the survey has limitations. We had 16.5%, maybe a biased sample. However, we do think it was a fairly large sample since it was 4,000 people. We used the HD definition, which limited people who had not been in several years would not be had the survey sent to them. Severe hemophilia in older patients were overrepresented. Von Willebrand's younger and minorities were under. The survey methodology limited responses. It was a close-ended survey, so there may be barriers that we had not defined that people could not tell us about. And the limited size did not allow analysis of subgroups. So summary, this is the largest service ever conducted in the blood disorders community. The majority of patients reported that it was important to receive care. They reported that most services and information they needed were being received in NET. However, gaps were adolescent transition, genetic testing, information on basic needs, and this has actually been shown, verified by an international survey, and sexual health. The barriers to care include distance to travel, out-of-pocket expenses, and taking time off from work and school. There needs to be further exploration on how to better serve minority communities. So we have decided our top priorities as a nation. One is transition. So what are we doing about transition? Well, we have a work group that's actually trying to identify a standardized protocol. and they're using WW Gut Transitions, which is from HRSA, and the National Hemophilia Foundation guidelines. They're going to modify these guidelines, pilot test it, and hopefully roll it out to the rest of the country so that we can have a standardized transition protocol. We also have a very interesting demonstration project that we're funding. It's called Transit. It's an interactive website for children age 8 to 12. We hope to test that this whole year and then hopefully roll that again out to the nation. We have a genetics work group that's identifying gaps in genetic services. They've developed some educational materials. They've also reached out to genetic counselors who may be talking to people with hemophilia or blood disorders but are unaware of the HTC services. There also is a collaboration between Athen, NHF, Puget Sound, and Biogen to offer free testing to patients with hemophilia. The centers who actually opt in, their patients can get this testing. And then we also have a demonstration project for genetic education. People out in CHOP are working to develop a toolkit for carriers. We need to know more how to better take care of our minority patients. So we use the NHF Multicultural Committee, the Hemophilia Federation of America, worked with us to develop a survey. There'll be a phone survey. The phone survey will be in Spanish for this Hispanic population, and it'll be it's culturally sensitive for the African American population. And then lastly, we have to deal with the area of distance, and we're actually doing a demonstration project to expand telemedicine to rural areas. Okay. Thank you. Now, this is my work group that worked on the survey that was 18 pages, and they very nicely brought it down to 4. Thank you.